This has been, how was your week? First of all, let me ask you, how was your week? Did y'all have a good week? There's so many different people, Promised Land. So many different things happen. People that had celebrations this week, good things happen. I just talked with a young lady, her father passed away last night. She was in church today worshiping God after that type of news. So, you know, all over the board, a lot of different things happening. And this was a very peculiar week for me. And I typically prepare the message on Thursday morning that I want to share with you on Sunday. And I've thought about it a lot throughout the week, take some few notes, jot some things down. And then on Thursdays when I jump in and just go for hours until it's all laid out. This week, couldn't do that on Thursday morning because we had a funeral here on Thursday. And so I was pushed to another time, and then it didn't work then. It just didn't. And then I was working on it, just didn't feel. I didn't feel the presence of God, and gotta have that conviction about it. Or it's just, I don't want to just get up here and read a speech to you, you know? So I have to have that gut feeling about it, that spiritual connection to it. And it was just an odd week. And it really compelled me, though, to just examine what had happened and really look at what had happened throughout the week. And it really stirred my heart about a couple verses. One of them I want to read to you. And since I didn't get the message done on Thursday, there's no scriptures for you on the screen. And poor online team was like asking, what scriptures? I don't know. I don't know yet. So I have an old-fashioned Bible. How about that? Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 11th verse says, there's so much more that we would like to say, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Now, surely they're not talking about Promised Land Church. Come on. That's pretty tough words, isn't it? I want to tell you some stuff, but you know what? It's just, you're just dull, just difficult to explain it. Spiritually dull, don't want to listen. Verse 12, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. You should be the teachers, but instead you need someone teaching you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know what is right. Verse 14, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Let me just say, before I get too far into this, that if you just prayed with us and received Jesus into your life, and you were received into Jesus's life, and now you have this, I mean, even if that was today, today's the first day that you've ever prayed or connected with God, this is a great place for you. Promised Land is a safe place for you. We want you here. We want brand new people here, brand new to the faith. That's a wonderful thing. But I just want you to know, I want everybody to know, that we're going to help you get off the milk, the basics, and get you further along in your faith. And there's nothing mean about that or judgmental about that. But the Bible is teaching us in Hebrews chapter 5, that's the normal thing. It's normal for babies to drink milk, and that's great. And babies need people to feed them milk. And then they need them to have the airplane. Here we come. Open up. Here comes the scripture. You needed this in your life. You know? But as the person gets older, they need to start picking up the spoon themselves. And someone's going to put the food in front of them, and they're going to get messy, and they're going to put it. But they're learning, and then they get older, and what? They're buying their own food, feeding themselves. That's a normal thing. That's what the Bible's telling us right here. The Bible's wanting us to grow and to get stronger and to start feeding ourselves and to live for God. This is a terminology that we had when I was growing up. Well, so-and-so's living for God now. That's awesome. Yeah. Or this person over here, they're not living for God right now. Living for God. Intentional, on purpose, growing in your faith, taking one step after another, advancing, maturing. Their life is for God. And I want us to, at Promised Land, to be living for God. I want to be a part of a group of believers that are not just saying, you know, I'm good, I'm just going to hang out. But instead, man, Lord, I want more of you. I want to get closer to you. Because I know that there is a purpose from God that he wants me to live in. I want to know what that is. I want to follow it. And I just want to live a life that is strong and deep and sound, you know? And so what does that look like? What does it look like to live for God? Is it weird? Are you strange when you do that, you know? Are you a freak? What about when you're going through life and you get sick or you have a problem, something happens to you that's not good? Does that mean you're not living for God? Does that mean you're a bad Christian? Or you make a mistake? Maybe it's your fault. You screwed things up. And you find yourself in a difficult situation. Does that mean you're not living for God? It's a good question, isn't it? The people in the Bible had the same question. And the Apostle Paul was writing to the group of believers in Corinth. And he told them that, and this is in 1 Corinthians 11, that you should be imitators of me as I imitate God. So Jesus was no longer living on the planet in person, in the flesh. So now it was up to the apostles and the pastors and the teachers to be the living example for other people to see so that they would know, ah, that's how you do it. They needed people in their life in order to figure that out. So follow me as I follow Christ, so that you would be sober-minded. 1 Peter 5 says that we need to be sober-minded, be watchful, it says, because there's an adversary out there. So instead of being in a daze or being consumed in work or consumed in family, I mean, being consumed in good things can be intoxicating so much that we're not aware there's a devil out there trying to distract us and confuse us and get us off of our game as a believer. Be sober-minded. Follow me as I'm following Christ. And then there's another scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, be on guard. Don't be asleep like others, but stay alert and be clear-headed. For night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. So we want to be aware, we want to be alert, we want to be following after other believers so that we can know how to live this life out. And so I'm no Apostle Paul, but I want my life to be an example for people to follow. And I thought there's no other way to do this than to just kind of share with you how my week went and all the pieces of my week and show you how this goes. Because I know you might think, well, you're the pastor, you know, this is your job. Your job is to follow God. But there's a lot of work to be done in a church that doesn't really feel like it's for God. It's hard, it's difficult, it's just like any other job. And so there are things about the job of being a pastor that is so rewarding and beautiful, and it is very much about ministry. It's about the work of God, and that's great. But if I'm not following Jesus when I'm away from this building, then you got the wrong pastor. You need somebody that's trying to live it out. And I don't always get it right, but I want to be transparent with you and open with you and share with you some of how it works for me, and hopefully you can extrapolate for yourself. So what I want to do, just for a minute, is this okay? Yeah. Okay, you stay, everyone else can leave. So I want to go from Sunday to Sunday, and I'm going to go pretty quick, okay? So Sunday I came to church, worshiped with y'all. Erica spoke with me up here. We talked about procreation, and we shared God's plan for that. Then we go to eat with family, and then I went straight up to Austin and met my pastor, Pastor Randy Phillips, in the Walmart parking lot. He got in my truck, and I drove him to a concert that he was singing at in Waco with Phillips, Greg, and Dean. I kind of helped him get this concert together for a cousin of mine, and then I said, hey, can I go with you? He said, sure, yeah, come on, go with me. So I said, I'll drive you up there. So I spent an hour and a half up there driving him, hanging out with him there, had a great time, great concert, got in the car, started heading back. We got into Belton, and he said, hey, if you want to get a burger or something, that's fine with me. I know you're probably hungry. So I said, where do you want to go? And he said, wherever you go, I'll eat anything. So we pulled into Whataburger at 10:30 that night. I got a picture. This is me and him waiting for our bacon cheeseburger at Whataburger. Ate the burger. How many know if you eat Whataburger at 10:30, there's going to be a stirring deep within later. So anyway, went home. Monday, get up, get here to the church early. I'm walking around. We're analyzing things. We're talking about, we're meeting about finances. We're meeting about small groups that are launching. By the way, get in a small group. Small groups that are launching. Talking to Pam about events that are coming up. I mean, there's a lot of planning and work that goes on in the church. One of the things that I did, check out this next picture. I was walking by right over here, this corner, and I saw that our grapevines are, they're out of date. Their season has come and gone. And we need to, so I sent this picture to Abe. I said, can we please get these, help me with this? And there's something on the wall that we need to clean. Anyway, this is what goes on my mind as I'm walking around. I'm sending him pictures. I'm talking to people. We're doing stuff. Then I went to lunch with a young man in our church. Spent about an hour and a half with him talking about his life, eating at Freebirds, talking about school, talking about work, talking about career, talking about family, just talking to him. Then I come back up to the church on Monday afternoon and talk with the staff some more, meeting some more, talking, meeting, computers, emails, all that stuff. And then I went home. I started feeling sick when I got home. And it was that weird feeling of like, am I just tired or am I sick? And then it's like, I'm sick. Yes. Ugh. And then I started getting hot. I got a fever. I started feeling bad. So we have an upstairs room that's kind of on the side of our house. That's our quarantine room now. So I went up there, and then I woke up the next day, and I felt a little better, but still not right. And, you know, if you've had a fever, don't go around people. So Tuesday, I spent all day at home upstairs watching movies and hanging out, and honestly, it was pretty enjoyable. Just to do nothing. And so then that evening, I had to go to a board meeting. I'm on the board for Texas Alliance for Life, and it's a big pro-life organization here in Texas. And so I couldn't make it to the actual meeting, so I had to check this out. I had to log on to the meeting on good old Zoom. There I am in the bottom left trying to stay alert. They're talking about budgets and all kind of stuff, and I'm trying to stay alert. And it went over 2 hours. I mean, you know, I turned off the camera for a while and walked around. Y'all never do that, right? Just turn the camera off and, okay. So then I went to bed, woke up the next day, and I felt really good on Wednesday morning. And you know, we live in the era, if you don't feel well, you have a fever, you got to take a COVID test. So we got a COVID test. I took the test and negative. Tested positive for COVID. I'm just kidding. No, it was negative. See, there's the proof right there. There's no pink line on the bottom. Y'all were nervous right there. Pastor, you're on the front row. I'm spitting. Okay. Anyway, yeah, so tested negative. I re-enter the world. Yay, I'm back to life. I'm back in talking to people in person. And go that after, for lunch, we went to lunch at CC's Pizza, because that was, we were celebrating the birthday of Jennifer Longoria, and she, we say, you go anywhere you want, CC's Pizza. That's where she wanted to go. Go to CC's Pizza, had a great time. Then after that, I left and went to Reedville to the cemetery, and one of our founding members passed away in November, and Mike Wallace in our church built a beautiful cross for his grave, and then we had a plaque put. You can go ahead and put that up. It was finally finished, so I went out on Wednesday afternoon, and I installed this cross at his gravesite, and it was such a beautiful moment. It was very emotional. I called his wife on the phone. We talked on the phone while I was sitting out there. I've actually never done that before, but it was a just a kind of a sweet moment out there in Reedville. Then I drove back to the church. This is Wednesday afternoon. I start preparing for a funeral on Thursday. And, you know, there's a lot of details to deal with. We have an incredible church staff. We have incredible volunteers that help feed and worship music and the whole thing. Thursday, we get up. We have the funeral here. We honored Mr. Balboa and loved on Amy and Cynthia and the family. And then I drove from the graveside there to Seguin to a lunch that I had to go to for the Pregnancy Resource Center in Seguin. Talked to people, enjoyed the time there. Then I came back here, and I was like, man, I got to get ready for Sunday. I got to figure this out. I came up to the church and just nothing was coming. Nothing was coming. And usually I have these ideas, and I had ideas. And I started kind of digging into it, just not there, not happening. So I kind of put it on pause because I had to go home for football night, Thursday night. My son, one of my sons on JV and Wimberly, he went to Alamo Heights. My parents went with him. And then Eric and I went to Hayes, where my older son plays varsity for Hayes. And Thursday Night Lights, beautiful time. Loved to watch my sons play football or anything. You know, we love to watch our kids, whatever they're doing. Singing, dancing, playing football, pep squad, whatever it is. So investing in family on Thursday night. Celebrating with one because he won, consoling one with one because he lost. Just being a parent, being a dad, you know. Friday is usually my Sabbath day, the day I don't do much production because it's a day of rest for me. So I intentionally don't do anything. But here I am, I wake up on Friday and I have zero plans for this right here. And so I think, well, I got to go to church and I got to figure out what I'm going to preach. And I just said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because this is the day for the Lord. This is the day I've reserved for the Lord. I'm not going to do anything productive today. I'm going to go play pickleball at the activity center. So I went. Any pickleballers out there? Come on. Yes. That is so odd because I'm the youngest guy at the pickleball thing. Anyway, have fun with them. Talk to them. Talk trash with them. Enjoy our time together. Then I go home, do yard work. The weather's beautiful. Weed eat, mow, hang outside. Love that. So enjoyable to me. Very relaxing. I get a text that afternoon from Danny Rivers, who pastors in San Antonio. He said, hey, we're at the Outlet Mall shopping. I said, let's go out to eat. So Eric and I had a double date with Danny and Rachel. We went, had a great time, talked about church, talked about people. Very, very enjoyable. I also spent time with my best friend on Friday. Man's best friend, Tom. And my best friend's a little girl. And I took a picture with me and her on Friday. Do we have that picture? Do we have me and Perry? There we are. That's I've seen that 1,000 times since Friday, and I just think it's so dumb and funny. Yeah, that's me and Perry. Then, after our little date night, we come home. It's a beautiful night. So we go out on the back porch and we're watching my best friend's wedding or some cheesy old romantic movie. And all of a sudden, our Yorkshire Terrier starts barking and barking and barking out in the woods. And then it's silent. And then she comes slowly back to the house. Check out this picture of her. Look at her bottom shin. She has porcupine quills all in her, and she's like grinning at the at the camera right there. This is a week in the life of me. So we had a $300 vet bill on Saturday morning, and that was tough. But Saturday, wake up and start doing some stuff here at the church, and then we go to a lunch with Joni Wilson, who's celebrating her new business. Great member of our church, great member of the community, Texas State, and she's launching a new counseling business, and we went to celebrate her downtown yesterday in the midst of Mermaid Central. There was a mermaid parade, saw people. That was a lot of fun. Band playing downtown. A lot of fun, a lot of action, a lot of activity. Honored Joni at her luncheon. And then we come home, and it's grilling, it's watching college football, it's family time again, stuff like that. Go to bed early on Saturday night, always, so that I'm ready for Sunday morning. Get up at 5 o'clock today, prepare, get up here, pray, eat a taco. Here I am. I'm expressing all this to you because I want you to see that living for God can sometimes look like just a regular person, you know, just a regular life. But I want to pull out just for a little bit a few things that were super intentional about this week that I hope you're making these choices yourself, because this is very, very important. First of all, when I had the opportunity to ride in a car alone for 4 hours with Randy Phillips, I said, absolutely, I'll do that. I mean, obviously, I checked with my wife. I checked with the calendar. I had space and time. I mean, I was super tired from being here all morning. But I said, man, this is a golden opportunity for me to be alone with my pastor, my mentor, so that we can talk, have fun. He can speak into my life. He can encourage me. He can correct me if there's something I need corrected. But I want to be in his life, and I'm going to make time to do that. Then the next day, I had lunch with the young man from our church, which it was the opposite situation. I'm 25 years older than him. And so I'm speaking into his life, and I'm talking about my problems that I have and how he has problems and how we can help each other. And it was a beautiful lunch. And then on Friday, we had lunch with the Rivers, and that was a different kind of lunch because that was peer to peer. And so it's very important that all of us have what some would call an upline, a downline, and a sideline. If you want to grow in your relationship with God and you want to go from the milk to the meat and further your walk with God, then I want to encourage you to make sure you make time for all of those relationships in your life. Who's in your life that's speaking into your life that can have authority, basically, you know, over your spiritual walk? Who are you investing in? Who's somebody that you're mentoring and helping? And then who are you friends with that you can talk shop with, or, you know, you can share ideas with? We all need those relationships in our life. Then I think the Friday deal is so important. And if you are at a place where you're working and working and working and working, you're not taking time to honor God, then I want to encourage you to do that. And you are honoring God. You're here today. And you've carved time out of you could be in so many different places. So I'm kind of preaching to the choir a little bit about this right now. You've saved this Sunday out. You've carved it out for God. But I want to encourage you not to make this just an accidental visit or a coincidental visit. But I want to encourage you to make it a priority. Lock Sundays down. Come to worship. I would be here today whether I was up here or I was out there, it's just a part of the culture of my life. I love doing it. I love being here. I love being with family, being worshiping with family, and then taking that time to just to do nothing, but just recharge. So maybe you're doing that this afternoon. I hope so. But there's that all. There's another part there. I don't know if you sensed it, but you know, the board meeting that I went to on Zoom, and then the lunch that I went to in Seguin on Wednesday. That, you know, that's not stuff that I get paid for. That's not a pastoral duty of mine. That's just a place where I volunteer. That's where I serve. And I encourage everybody to find that place in your life. Find something that you're not getting paid for, where you're serving the community, you're doing something outside of your pay. I mean, you're serving in ministry in some capacity. And I want to encourage you to do that. But there's those Tuesdays, you know, there's those Monday nights and Tuesdays when you just get sick sometime. You know, there's just things that happen to you that are bad. You know, it's not your fault. You didn't do anything. This happened to you, and you have to be able to just open up your mind. Lord, please help me with this. Please heal me with this. I will literally lay my hands on myself and pray James 5:14, Lord, I'm laying my hands on myself and I'm praying, God, you're gonna heal this physical body and help me with this. And until I'm feeling good again, and until I'm aware that this is over, Lord, I'm gonna trust you that you're gonna take care of every single detail, that you're gonna be with me. I don't have to force this or make something happen, but instead you're gonna be with me every step of the way. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that happen throughout the week. I'm praying that you're gonna find the courage, you're gonna find the strategy to not just allow life to just happen to you, that your faith is just something that's kind of on the back burner, but that we're gonna be alert, sober-minded, aware of the truth, the reality that God wants to move you forward in your faith. He's going to put people in your life to do that. So would you stand with me right now and let's pray together very quickly. Lord God, we just surrender this time to you, God. And I pray as I was speaking that something triggered a thought, maybe a convicting thought, maybe a thought of gratitude or a thought of encouragement. Lord, whatever it was, whatever part of the spectrum it was, I pray, Lord, that it would be a seed sown into our hearts and minds, God, and that we would grow in our faith towards you. Come on, somebody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's sing together right now and worship.
Yes, you come. Will you meet me here again? Oh, 'cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Sing, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Unless you come, will you meet me here again? Oh, yeah, yeah. 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again?
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for this moment that we get to be with you, God. We're just so thankful. Come on. In your own way, in your own voice, if you're willing and able, can we just tell God how thankful we are that He just takes time to rest with us, to be with us, to comfort us? God, we're just so thankful. We don't want to take this moment for granted. God, that you would open up our eyes and our heart to who you are and what you're doing, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, at school and at work, on the road and with family, and at the parent-teacher conference, and at the football game, and in the locker room, that every moment that we would just have an awareness, God, of who you are and what you want to do in us, what you're trying to say through us. God, that we would recognize you every day. We pray, God, that you would help us to find people in our life that we can look to. That we would find people in our life that we can mentor and be there for, God. And we pray that you would put people in our life that are friends, that stand shoulder to shoulder and side by side with us. Encourage us when we're down, that lift us up when we're facing trouble, that are there for us. Who you are and what you're doing. In Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus this morning. So good. You can be seated for just a second. I'm going to get you out of here in just a little while. I was reminded, or I thought of this as Pastor was talking and as we were praying, but oftentimes we pray for people to come into our lives. We pray that, God, send people that can help me or that can encourage me, or, you know, good people. I just need some good people. If I could just get around good people. And it's a great thing to pray. I think it's a great prayer because good people are important. But in my opinion, there is no better place to find great people to do life with than in small groups, okay? And so if your prayer is that maybe you would have some new friends or new people, or you'd just be encouraged a little bit, or that God would show you that what you're walking through, you're not alone in, or you're not the only one, or the interest that you have is not just you that has that interest. Small groups is for you. I want to encourage you that if you have called Promise Land home for any amount of time, today being your first day, you're included. Small groups are what we do, and we want to encourage you to get in one. We have small groups for every age group, many different hobbies, many different interests, all different days of the week, different times. We try to do as much as we can to make sure that you find an opportunity. Hey, and maybe you have the desire for community, but you just can't find a group on that list that fits maybe your schedule or your interests or anything like that. Maybe you should start a small group. It is not too late. Maybe that means that you can do something with just people who maybe are in your industry or in your field, and you feel like you could reach them or something like that. But small groups are so important. We believe in them so much that even in our student ministry, every month we do small groups multiple times, whether it's here at the church or out, in homes. We make a point to do them as much as possible. Now, when it comes to our student ministry, though we do love small groups, small groups. Tonight at 5 o'clock is not a small group night, okay? Tonight is actually a game show night. We are converting this whole place in here into the set of The Price is Right, okay? And we are having a show that we are really excited about. We did run into a problem though when preparing to do The Price is Right for our students, and that was that the majority of our middle school and high school students had no idea what The Price is Right was, okay? I think our leaders got more excited about it than anything. But so tonight we're going to be doing two things. We're going to be having a fun game show and teaching some of the students a little TV history, okay, with one of the best shows to ever come on TV. Will is somewhere here. He's over there. He's going to be our Bob Barker for the evening, and we're looking forward to that. Woo, we're so excited. I'm going to put you on blast, Pastor Will. I thought this was hilarious. I text Pastor Will. I said, you know, we're going all out. Can you just wear a suit and everything, you know, be Bob Barker? And he said, I will, just as long as my suit still fits, okay? So, oh, I love you. But we're going to have fun. I'm looking forward to it. Middle school and high school students are going to be in here at 5 o'clock. We're actually giving real prizes, actual physical prizes, cash, gift cards, all that stuff. They're going to win just like on the game show. We're just giving it a little Bible twist and calling it The Bible is Right, but it's going to be so much fun. We have all that planned from tonight, 5 p.m., and then we'll feed them dinner and all that good stuff too. So we wanted to make sure that you know what we have going on. Hey, we want to give you an opportunity to kind of give financially before you leave today. If this is something that is on your heart, there's a few ways that you can do it. We have an envelope in the seat back in front of you. You can just jot down or slide a cash or check in there. It also serves as our Connect card. So if this is your first time here, or maybe you made a decision to follow God today, or you're interested in getting baptized or serving somewhere, just write that on there. And as you walk out of those doors, you can just drop it. We have offering bins. They're tall black bins. You just slide it right in there on your way out. You can also give online at psmchurch.com. And this works for all of our online viewers as well. You can give via text. You can text Promise Send to 73256, or you can give on the Realm app. There's so many different ways that you can give. And if it is on your heart, we just say thank you for giving, and because you are the reason this church has is able to do something. God breathes life into this house, and because of faithful, generous people, we get to help breathe life to our city and students and kids and Texas State students and all the above. So we're just so thankful. Let me pray for your offering really quick, and then we will get you out of here so you can enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Father, thank you for the opportunity to pour into your house, to link our heart with yours. We pray that you would do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. I just believe for a church that is the lender and not the borrower. God, I am excited for a body of believers that pour into the city, that give resources to the city. And God, and so that is our heart. We pray that we would do something amazing with the faithful tithes and offerings of this house. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Well, we love you. We're so excited you are here today. We hope that you got something out of it and God is doing something in your life. We can't wait to see you next week.